During the years that he worked as a producer at ESPN, Jason Romano had a conversation with Coach Tony Dungy that marked his life.
So Coach stops. He says, Jason, I understand that you're a follower of Christ. That's great. And then he asked me the question that changes my life forever. And I really mean this when I say this. He says, Jason, how do you live your faith out in the workplace here at ESPN? And I thought, there's no way I could be a Christian and live my faith out at a place that was sort of a big business, secular type setting. His assistant, Jessica, comes right up in front of him and she looks at me and she goes, you don't get it. She's like, until you're called away, you're to bloom where you're planted, right here. This is your mission field.
This is Family Life Today for Friday, February 5th. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. You can find us online at familylifetoday.com. We're going to talk today about how all of us can bloom where we are planted, or as Dave Wilson likes to say, how we can make a dent where we're sent. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. I just got to say, I'm proud of you. We've got an ESPN alumnus here with us on Family Life Today.
Uh-huh.
And we've been talking for a long time, and you have not said cover two once. I'm really proud that you have been able to.
Here's what I want to know, Bob. Do you know what cover two is?
I know it has something to do with a defense, right?
Yeah.
How's that? That's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
That's about as far as I can go on that.
I want to know if my wife knows.
Do you know what
cover
two is?
She's lived with a quarterback her whole
Isn't
life.
Isn't it the defensive backs of what they're running?
Yeah, it's just basically two high safeties, you know, in the middle of the field, on the hashes.
That's cover two.
It determines everything, what you can run and change your routes. Anyway, we're not here to talk about cover two.
I shouldn't have brought it up.
We'll talk about
now
football.
We're into pass rush defense. Okay.
We just lost half the audience,
we did.
Bob.
We did.
It is fun to have somebody from ESPN. 17 years, Jason Romano worked for ESPN, no longer works for ESPN. He's at a level now we all aspire to. He's an author. He's a podcaster. He's a MC of ministries. And really, we didn't mention this before, but you're with Sports Spectrum.
Yeah.
So, Jason, glad to have you here. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing these days.
I love it. First of all, thanks, guys, for having me on your show. Sports Spectrum is the intersection of sports and faith in Jesus. And Sports Spectrum is a ministry that's been around for 35 years, telling these stories in the sports world, but intersecting it with faith in Christ. And we get to do a lot of interviews, like with Dave and Ann Wilson, on my show, and talk about sports and faith, and it's really cool.
Jason, how did you become passionate about that?
That goes back to being a kid. Sports. Well, the faith part is later in my life. I was 27 when I began my walk with Jesus, but sports was all I cared about. In many ways, I tell people it was my God, because I didn't have a relationship with Jesus when I was a kid. I did go to Catholic church a little bit here and there, but very rarely, out of sort of obligation. But Sundays were about football, sometimes bowling. Not until I was 27, my brother Chris was headed down a really bad path, and Jesus got a hold of him, and he did a 180 in his life. And I watched him live this new life out. I thought he was crazy at first. When he became a Christian, I was like, what's wrong with this dude? He's in some sort of cult or something. But I watched him for 3 years live out his faith, and it became very attractive. And I was curious. I said, Chris, tell me what's really going on here. He would kind of, you know, give me little hints about Jesus and say his church and things like that. But for me, it was just a curiosity. I was really impressed with what happened to him in his life. You know, my life wasn't spiraling out of control from a worldly perspective. Got married, moved into our first house, got the ESPN job. So things were looking good, but I saw what he had and I wanted it. And he shared the gospel with me on Mother's Day 2001 in the back bedroom of his house. I tell people I had no idea what I was saying yes to, but my heart was open to say yes to it. And that was the beginning, the start of my relationship. And it's been, gosh, almost 20 years now. And I haven't reached it or gotten to wherever we want to get to, but I'm just so glad that he did that because it changed my life.
In your work with Sports Spectrum, has there been anybody you've interviewed where it was like that little kid could not wait to get to meet this person that you were a super fanboy for?
Oh, yeah. Daryl Strawberry is the guy. Daryl wrote the foreword to my first book, Live to Forgive. And if you met 12-year-old Jason, the walls were covered with Daryl Strawberry posters. The notebooks were covered with stats, literally at-bats to at-bat to at-bat of what Daryl Strawberry was doing watching WOR in New York as a kid. Fast forward all the way to 2009, and I'm spending the day with Daryl Strawberry at ESPN. Now, I'm a Christian at this point, but I'm not working in ministry. I'm still doing my job at ESPN, and Daryl comes, and I wanted to spend the day with him talking about the 86 Mets. We didn't talk baseball at all for 8 hours. We talked about Jesus. We talked about faith, forgiveness, our parents, addiction, all the things that Daryl Strawberry has been through, if you know anything about his story. And then fast forward 6 years later, I'm in ministry hosting a show that I am doing and interviewing my childhood hero. And we're not talking about baseball again. We're talking about Jesus. It's pretty crazy.
That is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and one of the things you said about your job at ESPN is people would come in, some of them heroes, but obviously sports figures, and leave a mark on you.
Yeah.
And you just hit on one thing that I that hit me in your book, The Uniform of Leadership, about ministry. You know, and Tony Dungy and maybe his assistant. Tell us that story, though, because that was a really interesting perspective to think about. What is ministry? What isn't ministry? Tell us that story.
That was a pivotal, life-changing moment for me that day, and I didn't know it was happening. So my job at that point at ESPN, I was a talent producer. That was the title. But in essence, I was the booker. I was the guy who would book the guests, bring them to ESPN, and then set their day up, and you go through all of the different shows. ESPN obviously has many, many, many shows like SportsCenter and Mike and Mike and First Take and all of these shows, NFL Live, that you would have seen and watched. So I put a schedule together, and I knew at that point that I was a follower of Christ for sure. I'm 8-9 years into my walk with the Lord, but I always struggled with what it was like to have my faith brought to the workplace. I didn't know what that meant. So I always thought church on Sunday, maybe life group, small group, middle of the week. But when I went to ESPN, that was my job, was ESPN. All that church stuff was kind of separate. Now, I wasn't denying Christ at work, but I thought it was separate. But when Coach Dungy comes, I'm excited because I know he's a man of faith, Hall of Fame coach. So I knew when he was coming, he was going to bring Jesus into the conversation just the way that Coach is. If you ever talk to Coach or know anything about Coach Dungy, as a gentle giant, but he exudes Christ, who Christ is, in my opinion, in the way that he talks, in the gentle spirit that he is. So Coach is here. He does Mike and Mike in the morning, and we find ourselves in this green room, which is just a little side office, but we're in this green room, and we're just hanging out, and his assistant Jessica is there, his publisher Todd, and his co-author Nathan are with him. So it's four people total. And those other three are all believers who I had kind of relationships with in different projects in the past. So they knew that I was a Christian. They had told Coach Dungy that I was a Christian. So Coach stops right in the middle while we're hanging out in the green room that morning. And he says, Jason, I understand you're a follower of Christ. That's so cool. And he didn't have to do this, by the way. Coach Dungy does not have to stop and take an interest in me. I'm just a nobody. I'm just a producer at ESPN doing my job, right? But this is great leadership on Coach Dungy's part to actually make every single person around him feel like they're worth $1 million. So he stops. He says, Jason, I understand that you're a follower of Christ. That's great. And then he asked me the question that changes my life forever. And I really mean this when I say this. He says, and nobody's ever asked me this question before. He says, Jason, how do you live your faith out in the workplace here at ESPN? If you're a Christian, how does that work for you? How do you live your faith out? And I was caught off guard. And so my answer was definitely not the answer he wanted. I said, I don't even know if I can do that, Coach. I mean, I'm at ESPN. If I'm going to live out my faith, I need to go work for a sports ministry like the Fellowship of Christian Athletes or Sports Spectrum, which, spoiler alert, I am now. But at the time, I wasn't thinking about that. I thought there's no way I could be a Christian and live my faith out at a place like ESPN or any kind of place that was sort of a big business, secular type setting. And I could sense he was not happy. He was just kind of shaking his head, and he was about to respond. And before he could, his assistant, Jessica, comes right up in front of him. And I had known Jessica from a couple previous engagements, you know, and different bookings and things like that. So she had the permission to be bold in this moment. And she comes up with me, puts her hand on her hips, and she looks at me. She goes, you don't get it, do you? And I say, oh my gosh, Jessica, what don't I get? You know, I'm like scared a little bit for a minute. I'm like, what don't I get? I don't understand what you're trying to say. She's like, you don't get it. Look where you are working. You are at ESPN. There are 3,000 employees on this campus that you can impact for Jesus.
It's your mission field.
That's what she said. She goes, this is a mission field for you right here at ESPN. She said, someday you might be called away to go work in ministry. And again, that happened. But she's like, until that day happens, you're to bloom where you're planted right here. This is your mission field. And it was like a light bulb went on in my brain. And I said, oh my gosh, I get it now. I get it. And I'll tell you what happened to me, guys. Before that day, I would say I was a ESPN producer who happened to be a husband, who happened to be a dad. That was really the identity that I kind of aligned with. After that day, now again, it's all a process, so it takes a little while, but I realized I'm a follower of Christ first, who happens to work at ESPN. Order is important here. Yeah. And that's what happened with me. I went from understanding that, wait a minute, Jesus isn't just a piece of my life. He is the centerpiece of all that I am. He comes with me to ESPN. And so when I go to ESPN and step in that office every single day, there's an opportunity to be Jesus to someone in there. I saw the people I worked with. I saw the work that I did as a more purposeful work. I saw that it wasn't about me anymore. For many years, I was focused on climbing the corporate ladder. Let's see if I can get that next producer job or if I can get that next level, that raise, that salary. Well, after Coach Dungy and a few other things take place, I realized, wait a minute, I got this whole thing backwards here. My job every day is to come into ESPN and say, how can I serve you at ESPN? Not what can ESPN do for me?
Tell Jason how you say it. You don't say bloom where you're planted.
Yeah, bloom where you're planted is in your book, and it's a great phrase. I've always said, make a dent where you're sent.
Oh, I like that.
And here's the thing that I like about that is we're sent to make a dent. In other words, you know, I get it from Tommy Boy. Mm-hmm. Remember Tommy? That'll leave a mark.
Yes.
That's where I first got it.
That's going to leave a mark.
That'll leave a mark. And I'm like, everywhere God sends you, you want to leave a mark, a good mark, right? But here's the thing that happens when I've used that at our church, you know, make a dent where you're sent. People will come up every time and say, hey, got a question. I know where you're sent. You're a pastor. I know where he's sent. He's a missionary. She's a missionary. I don't know where I'm sent. You know what the profound answer is? You're sent where you are.
Yeah.
And that's what Tony Dungy was telling you, in a sense, where you are is your calling.
Yes.
You know, and that's what you discovered. I don't think most of us understand that.
No, I didn't either. I mean, I have been a Christian for 9 years to that point before Coach Dungy asked me that question. And I didn't realize, wait a minute, this isn't just a job that I'm going to. And I enjoyed my job, by the way. I loved working at ESPN prior to that moment with Coach Dungy. And I loved it even more after, because I knew I got to do a job that I enjoyed. I got to work in the toy department of the world, as I call it, like the sports world. Are you kidding me? But now it became more purposeful work. I do miss being around others who think differently. And I try to actually intentionally have conversations with a lot of people, whether it's through social media or even just meeting up at different places that aren't followers of Christ, to just kind of hear their perspective and talk to them and be able to witness to them.
And the amazing thing is you're doing it now in a different way.
Right.
Because your broadcast, your podcast is influencing non-church, non-Christian people. And that's why you do it, because they are interested in sports lives, and you're using that platform to say, I may not be sitting in an office beside you, but man, we're impacting your life right now, right?
Yeah.
And I think what it starts with, where we talked earlier about putting the jersey on correctly.
Yeah.
You know, do you do that the first thing in the morning? Like, okay, I need to make sure, as you said before, that Jesus is first. Yeah. I'm going to serve him before I serve myself today.
I try to. I mean, we all mess that up, obviously, but you know, just this past year in 2020 and thinking about discipline, you know, everything was kind of taken away from us in the pandemic. You know, this might be a horrible situation for a lot of people, but this is also an opportunity to come out of this different as followers of Christ. And so for me, I actually tried to, again, I mess up occasionally, so I'm not perfect, but I tried to make sure that the first 30 minutes every morning was with him. And so I would spend time listening to worship music or even just shutting down the phone and just, and sometimes I'm going for walks, you know, and doing this, but just praying, spending that quiet time, like that has to be now, it's almost become habit formed in a good way where I have to have that time in the morning, that quiet time with God. And when I don't have that, whether we're on vacation or things kind of get out of whack, you feel it. You feel that. And so I think that if I'm going to talk about being a leader and talk about especially leading in my house, but also leading others or writing a book about leadership, I got to be accountable to myself too. So I need to make sure I've got my priorities in straight.
Yeah. And one of the stories that hit me about that was you turning down the opportunity to be a producer because of how it would affect your family. Yeah. Talk about that.
So at ESPN, they give reviews. They have a mid-year review in the middle of the year, and then at the end of the year, you're either on the right track, moving ahead, or, you know, I forget the third one, but it's like these levels that they kind of qualify you at in terms of your work. And they evaluate you, and you sometimes get a little bit of a raise or a bump. Oh, you get 3% raise for your review or whatever. That mid-year review in 2008, it was scathing. It was like Jason is all focused on himself. He doesn't care about his teammates. He's focused on the next job and not the job that he's currently working at and getting paid for. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
Yikes. So
it was bad. Yeah. It was an eye-opener.
Was it true?
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, at the time, I didn't think it was. I'm like, no, you should have told me this. I was just trying to do what everybody else is doing and, you know, get the next job at ESPN. But it was true. I was so focused on Jason and wearing that uniform backwards. But I will say that same year, I had this opportunity. You know, I wrote about me and this woman named Carol going after this manager job in the middle of 2008. And Carol was 26. At the time, I was probably 34, I think, and more experienced. So I'm like, there's no way that Carol's going to get this job over me. So I went in there with my chest out thinking I'm good here. Carol got the job. And you talk about humbling. Like, that was like, whoa, okay. So I thought I deserved this. But Carol and I, because we had such a great relationship as coworkers, we agreed no matter who was going to get this job that we were going to support each other. And we did. And so Carol got the job. I said, all right, I can either be the bad guy, the bully here, or I can just serve and be a support to you. So I'm here for you, however I can help, however I can serve. So Carol was working with me on having this potential to become a producer at ESPN. And all that, the title, I'm talking about the title producer. Producer is a general term that we can all use for all the behind the scenes people. But there's an actual title called Producer One that is a level that a lot of people strive towards, and I was trying to go there. And I had this opportunity to become a producer one in the summer of 2008. And it was about a $30,000 pay increase. When you get that job, it's sort of, it raises up, in my opinion, the level of how people view you in the work that you do, right? So I was all set to do it. And then I remember one day going in and they called it shadowing. I would go in and I would shadow another producer and see what this job was going to be like. And it was like 5 p.m. till 3 a.m. It was Wednesday through Sunday, weekends. And it was not glamorous at all. But it was an opportunity to get this bump in pay, right? And this raise. And I remember going in and the shadowed, all it took was one day. And the next day I came in and I said to Carol, I said, I don't think I'm going to be a producer one. She goes, why? What's wrong? I said, I see what's happening here. If I take this job, which they didn't offer me the job, actually. I just assumed they were training me toward it. I said, but if they offer me this job and I take it, I will never see my daughter. In my opinion, I will never see her. She'll be in school during the day. And on the weekends, I'm working and I'm there. And I said, she's 4 years old at that point. I said, if I take this job, there's a very good chance that I might be stuck in this job for the next 5 to 10 years, however they want me to be in this job. And they control my hours. I can't say, you know, guys, I need to work 9 to 5 today, Monday through Friday. They're not gonna do that. Sports doesn't happen between 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. It happens nights and weekends. So I made a point. I made a choice. And I remember going to a few of the bosses and saying, listen, I don't think I'm going to continue my training to become a producer one. And they said, well, how come? I said, I can't take the chance of not being able to be around my kid and missing the next 10 years of her life. And they looked at me and were like, you won't miss the next. I said, you can't guarantee me that, can you? And they said, we can't guarantee that you can work the hours that you may want to work, but we'll do our best. And I'm like, I just can't. I'm sorry. I went back the next day. Carol said to me, what can I do for you to help your life be better so that you can be around your child? Changed my life. I said, can I work on the NFL, but can I work Sunday through Thursday? Can I work 7 to 5 during the week or 8 to 5 and then come home at night and be with my kid? And she said, yeah, absolutely. Let's make that happen. And so I didn't get the $30,000 raise, but I look back now and I did not miss my kid. And I was there for her being able to be, you know, in the most pivotal moments, I think, in her life, especially when she needed a dad.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have a dad that was around or available. And so I wanted to make sure that she had what I couldn't have. And if it meant not getting a $30,000 raise increase or a job title prestige, whatever you want to call it. I don't regret that, by the way, one iota. And other people maybe do. I don't know. But for me, I had to make that choice.
Yeah, and I'm guessing your daughter, maybe I'm wrong. Does she even know that you made that choice?
I don't know if she does. Yeah. It's weird. She won't read my books.
But she would know.
She's a teenager. I don't know. She doesn't read anything.
But she would know had you made that decision and taken that job, because
absolutely,
she wouldn't have a relationship with you.
And leadership is all the little behind-the-scenes decisions that literally change people's lives. Way to go.
Thanks,
that was,
man,
a big decision. Mm-hmm.
It was. And I look back now and I recognize, you know, my daughter's 16 and she's probably like, whatever, dad, which is pretty much the response I get on everything. Whatever, dad. But I hope when she's 24, 25 and we can sit down and really, and she maybe gets married and has kids of her own, that she sees and understands that it's these little moments and these decisions that you can make in your life that can make the difference between, who knows, maybe not even being able to have a relationship with her.
Right.
You know, and that was big for me, especially when I went through with my own dad.
Right. Just don't do what Dave Wilson would do and go to her and say, you know, you owe me $300,000.
Because yeah,
I
let me do the math
home.
Here.
10 years, $30,000. 30. That's about right.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Maybe she'll pay me back someday.
Jason, thank you for being with us. These are great leadership principles for moms, dads, for every one of us.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So,
thank you.
Thank you.
Jason's book, again, is called The Uniform of Leadership, Lessons on True Success from My ESPN Life. We've got copies of the book available to you in our Family Life Today Resource Center. You can request your copy online at familylifetoday.com, or you can call to order. 1-800-FL-TODAY is our number. So again, get a copy of Jason Romano's book, The Uniform of Leadership. Order online at familylifetoday.com or call to order 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800, F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. You know, I wish our listeners could be here each week as we get letters here at Family Life from listeners, get emails that folks send in, people who tell us the conversation you had on this particular subject on this particular day, God used that in my life in a dramatic way. It was exactly what I needed to hear. I've made the changes. I've pivoted. I was reminded of what's true. I'm starting to live that out. There are people whose lives are headed in a different direction today because God used Family Life Today to interact with them. And I just want to say thank you to those of you who are not only listeners to Family Life Today, but the financial supporters of this ministry. Those of you who may have been impacted by this ministry yourself, and you want to make sure others receive the same benefit. Those of you who support us financially with a one-time donation or on a monthly basis as legacy partners, we are so grateful for you. We talked earlier this week about the issue of pornography and the pandemic that exists in our culture around pornography. Joe Rigney was our guest, and his book, which is called More Than a Battle, we're making that book available as a thank you gift this week to any of you who can support the work of Family Life Today. You can make your donation online at familylifetoday.com, or you can call 1-800-FL-TODAY to donate. This book is an important book for every person to read because all of us, whether we're struggling with this issue or not, we're interacting with people who are. And this book gives guidance on how to break free from the bondage that so many experience when it comes to pornography. So again, the title of the book is More Than a Battle. It's our gift to you when you make a donation to support Family Life Today this week. And thanks in advance for that donation. You can donate online at familylifetoday.com or call 1-800-FL-TODAY. And we hope you have a great weekend. Hope you and your family are somehow able to worship together with your local church this weekend. And I hope you can join us back on Monday when we're going to talk football again a little bit, because Derwin Gray, who used to play in the NFL, is going to be with us. He's a pastor now in North Carolina. He's written a book looking at what makes up the good life. And it's different than what you might imagine. So join us as we talk with Derwin about that on Monday. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch. We got some help from Justin Adams this week as well. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a crew ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.